Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Are you interested in the genealogy of heavy metal? We here at Thunderdome Metal Reviews are very much invested in finding out more about our family tree. As you know, we are all Tony Iommi's children. But an important branch on our family tree of heavy metal is everybody's favorite uncle, Sarah's uncle, or Sirith Ungol, as most people know him. / the band. Welcome, everyone. How are you doing tonight? Tracy, the chicken slaughterer in Newport, the Dr. David Pizzo, and the Reverend Ben Lindsay.
If I'm going to show my nerd here, man, I'm correct. Sirith Ungol is location in Lord of the Rings, not an actual person.
That may be. That may certainly be. Sarah's uncle is certainly a person.
Was a pastor.
Sarah's uncle's a person, man. We all know Sarah's uncle. Wes introduced us to him.
He did. Which is weird. We're getting a very bookended, a retrospective of this band doing this because we had King of the Dead in this now.
Yeah, and the one from 84, and here we are in 2023.
Yeah. Which there are only three albums in between the two. So. Mm-hmm.
2019s?
You mean 2020s? Because they didn't release one in 2019.
Yeah, 2020 and
So yes, Dark Parade, the sixth studio album by Sirith Ungol. Released on October 20th, 2023 on Metal Blade Records, has a runtime of 44 minutes and 5 seconds. The lineup is Greg Lindstrom on guitars, Robert Garvin on drums and backing vocals, Tim Baker on vocals and whistle, Jarvis Leatherby on bass, and Jimmy Barraza on guitars and backing vocals. And it looks like the executive producer was Jarvis Leatherby.
So was this your first experience with him, or?
So I went back and listened to King of the Dead at some point because I saw that you guys had reviewed it, and I was just kind of interested. I don't remember when that was, and I also don't remember all that much about it, but I do remember liking it. So, you know, this band was somewhat of a known quantity, and I did have second thoughts. I chose to pick this record anyway.
It is. I was famously not that big a fan of the one we did down in Alabama when we reviewed them there. I thought this was better than that one, though. For what that's worth.
I feel like the songwriting has improved on this, but the vocal has gone so bad.
Yeah.
Really? I thought the vocals were better than they were.
No, I feel like they've hit on this one. They've hit the point to where it's like movie Wilhelm Scream-ish, nonstop the entire time. Just let's see what can get out of it. Fuck it. It's the vocals are a choice. That's a
we listen to death metal on purpose. So
I thought you were going to say the vocals are atrocious because they're kind of an atrocity.
They're not my favorite. This was almost King. This was King Crimson levels of cringy. And I know I just compared a god to just a rando, but still both had the same effect on me, making me just kind of go. It was okay. The riffs on here are fine, you know, and, you know, I appreciate the aesthetic. I didn't actually grade that last one that harshly, but the vocals on here are rough. They were not easy to take in.
I feel like in their other one, similar, when you singers just get older, they can't do the same thing with their voice anymore. And I think,
I get that.
Here is just, it's noticeable what he can't do anymore. Because, he wasn't the best singer to begin with. But it's almost Exodus levels of not good.
But Exodus made me laugh. This one just sort of made me sad. Exodus, I will openly laugh. When Exodus comes on, I'm like, It's like a Muppet suddenly
there,
coming.
There is no evil Muppet tonality to this.
Well, the other thing too is that what makes this so unbearable is that the singer doesn't sing. He kind of speaks or yells. And like, you can sort of maybe get away with that, but not in this kind of music. It's way too exposed.
And not continuously, right? Like, is it like, do, 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 do. I mean, it's every single song. You're like, oh my God, man. Yes, you're very exposed.
But for that, I mean, I think that the, the riffs, the compositions are really cool. The guitars are just really doing some awesome stuff.
For sure.
And the bass is really killer. What do you do with this? And also, how did they get by, like, with this kind of thing for so long? Like, do people just not care?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they were, I can't even explain it, because they were like, when we talked about it, when we did King of the Dead, this was a band that I heard of but never actually listened to, and then they like disappeared in 91 and didn't appear again until 2020. So I don't know. I this was like, they seemed to occupy that space between, even though they were active, I guess, during this time, but after, like, between Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden, right? But so between, like, the first wave of heavy metal and then the new wave of British heavy metal, very Deep Purple and Dio influence, and you can tell it lyrically because it's all that fantasy stuff, and it, but it's not, like, as cheesy. I don't know why. But it's not as cheesy as like current power metal stuff either. I don't know.
I mean, this was less cheesy than grating to me. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead,
Tracy. Well, I was going to say, like, this almost is like they slowed down quite a bit, I think, on this album comparatively, at least with King of the Dead. And like, it kind of gets not quite groovy, but I mean, it's not groovy metal.
I would say it's.
It touches, it plays with groove a little bit. Like, it's not like Lamb of God groove, but it's
no,
it plays with the groove, which I don't know if David crafts onto that or not, or he's just like, the singing so atrocious like this.
The music was okay, as I said. I listened to this album a bunch of fucking times for an album that was so great. Because I probably spun it in the office 10 times or something, because we had 2 weeks, right? That was the other thing. We had a longer time stretch, so I was listening to this at near the usual intensity for much longer. I don't usually sit with something like this for a fortnight. But yeah, the riffs are cool, and I don't know, we've listened to so much random shit, y'all. After you gave me the opportunity to listen to Hair Crimson endlessly, album after album after album, I feel like the guy must have felt it Clockwork Orange when they ended the, eye-dropping and the watch this.
I'm sorry, are you talking about King Diamond?
He is. But it's been
King Crimson is a totally different thing. Yes,
I was going to say, like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
King Diamond.
Yeah, we have not done King Crimson.
We've not done King Crimson. I forgot that's a real thing.
Much to Tracy's chagrin,
yeah.
What is King Maybe Crimson? Is that more 80s metal? I know.
No, that's like Prague.
Yeah.
I think I may have opened the door. Tracy's like, coming up, King Crimson Blast. Anyway, sorry, King Diamond. After listening to that much King Diamond, Professor Diamond.
Say what you want about King Diamond, David. He can carry a tune.
He can. This guy carries
zero tunes.
He's got a sword.
He couldn't carry a tune in a paper bag, man.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're not wrong. So anyway, I tried to just focus on the music, because if I focused on it, if I like zoned in on it and heard him too much, it was.
But don't you know you don't have to carry a tune when you can do sword yoga.
I mean, that's true. When you have tremolo picking, or like Pete the Commando Sandoval coming in, or like as one of you noted, it was Ben or Gabe. Like, we listened to death metal on purpose, but. You know, he's very exposed.
Well, that's also That's, I mean, it's also intentionally ugly. Like, I think this, it's really not the same thing.
Oh, that's totally not the same thing. I mean, I agree with that.
I mean, we will listen to harsh shit. And
And we always talk, you know, when you get into power metal, like some, you just kind of, you have that vocalist to kind of really carry it along with the parts of it. And this just does not have it. I mean, this doesn't have the speed power metal, but this is every bit power metal as you're going to fucking get. It's got the cheese coming in with it.
Yes, I'm one of the people who says that most. Like, unless you have, well, you don't have to have Bruce Dickinson, but something in that caliber, this is not that.
Yeah.
And again, he's probably a much better singer than I will be. He was got to be in his, 60s?
Probably. I mean, I have no idea.
Right? I mean, if they were putting out albums in the early 80s.
Yeah, he's like one of only two of the original members, too.
Yeah, that's right. I think the Wikipedia color bar chart showed a great, great leveling and decimation. A 20-year pause or whatever? No, 30
yeah,
pause?
67. 29 year, yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably a much better singer than I will be at 69 or 67 or 69, any of the 60s.
You know, I'm sure that this dude has notebooks full of, like, really intensely hand-drawn maps for fantasy worlds, and his D&D campaign is epic, and I would sit at his table any day, but yeah, I don't really want to listen to his band.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I thought that, like, the guitar sounded great, but, like, you know,
total product.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's a long time.
Sometime. Yeah, I guess so.
So I guess it's my time to shine.
It is your time to shine.
So my problem is that I really like some of these songs, like, in spite of the fact that, you know, just can handle the vocals. I mean, I think the opening track is pretty cool. Velocity. Relentless. I also liked Dark Parade because it's like just crazy enough to like work. I also liked Distant Shadows, which has a nasty solo in it. Sailor on the Seas of Fate is all right, but really doesn't need to be 8 minutes, and it's just, you know, Deep Purple worship essentially. And Sacrifice is just so bad from the vocals, like you can't get over it there. And I think that's basically all I have to say. The Closer's maybe okay.
Gracie?
I enjoyed Relentless. And I agree, Gabe is Dr. Parade, but I feel like that the vocals are so hard to get over. Like, it's almost distracting.
It is distracting.
Relentless was surprisingly good, but that is really, like, the only track on here that I would bother to listen to again.
I don't think I'll ever listen to any of these songs ever again. I don't know. They're fine. These are songs. If you like Sarah's Uncle, you will like this album. And that is the Coward's Refuge I'm going to use to grade it. Just to warn you.
I figured that's what that was.
Yeah. I'm setting it up.
Well, it is time to grade. That's Dave gives us a hint of what his grade will be.
Yeah. He's not far off from me. I'm going to give this a 79. I think that is more than generous. But also, like, I genuinely like the compositions on here. Like, if it was an instrumental album, I think it would get, like, you know, maybe even, like, an entire letter grade higher. But, like...
So it's like the Ocean Collective, basically, for Ben.
Kind of. I mean, like, I just... It just makes, like, the vocals just make everything so much worse. And I was really like, what I really was going to pick this month was Autopsy, but I figured that wouldn't be very interesting. So
this is something. This is certainly interesting. I am indeed going to give this a C+ because I think if you like this band, it's for, was it dedicated fans only, hardcore fans only, whatever that grade is.
Yeah.
It's not my cup of tea, but I understand this is a legacy band. And
the I wish we had really Wes. Good.
Oh. Yeah, Good.
I wish we had Wes on to hear this album because he gushed over King of the Dead so much.
Like, I was thinking about inviting him, but then suddenly there was some oscillation as to whether we were doing it. I was like, oh shit, I'm glad I didn't reach out. Yeah. I would have had to have done it earlier anyway, I feel. But I mean, I look at the schedule about a week in advance, and that is it. You know, when I look at it, when we finish podcasting, I roll the scroller down. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what's coming next. I mean, I like, well, not like you, Tracy, but like everyone else on this call, intensely populated it and then abandoned it. Mm-hmm. That's why it exists. I know you have to maintain all the gears, like the fucking Sacha Baron Cohen character in the Alice in Wonderland movie or whatever, like keeping the spreadsheet gears turning. But, well, this is an album and I'm giving it a C+. Let's see what Ben does.
So I like this better than I liked the original album, which I believe I gave a D. Yeah, so
I think you did.
I'm going to give this a D+.
Hell yeah. D+
amazing.
Rodeo.
Amazing. B+ convenience store.
Yep.
Let's see. I gave King of the Dead a B+, a 87.
I gave it a B.
I'm giving this a C, 75. It's a sad step down. Because it's an average of 75. I don't think any of us would buy this.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Unanimous, no. That's that award.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that does it for... Unless anybody has anything else to add, I think that does it for...
This album? Yeah.
Yeah, for this album. Sorry, had a burp there.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next is a volume two of sorts, you could say. And it's Project Regeneration, with featuring most likely Ezzo Dope and Static X.
Yeah, I think they've dropped the pretense. It is Ezzo Dope.
So it's everybody figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, it was the worst kept secret in all of metal. That was it. But...
Yeah. So, I mean, look at Paul.
I almost like him better as reanimated Wayne Static than himself. Because his last album was okay. Did we review it or did I just listen to it?
No, we did.
We did.
Yeah. Blood Money, yep, we did.
I know it was not super popular. I didn't do for that. It was all right. Anyway, I'm excited about that, though, because Regeneration 1 was quite cool. Morbid, but cool. Wayne Static. It's what Wayne Static would want.
Yeah, I think so. I'm hoping this one will be of similar quality, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out how much blood you can squeeze out of that stout. My God.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how much of, like, was original Wayne Static as well, and how much is...
They've admitted this is the end. I think they probably paced themselves. I feel like they always intended to release this in two. They claimed, anyway, they're always intending to do two of these.
Well, I mean, like, it's not everyone on Regeneration 1, I think, actually had original Wayne stuff. I think it was only, like, a handful.
Yeah, it was a mix, and it was often mixed elements. Anyway, yeah. it was like Frankenstein's Monster, really, which was the idea, I guess. Well, I'm excited we're reviewing that, and I think it'll probably be more popular than this was.
Hopefully.
I think so.
We'll see about that one.
I don't think it's a very large bar to hit, though.
It could be too terrible. We'll find out.
It'd be amazing. It's just rigid.
Poo poo on a CD.
It's just Ezzel Dope beatboxing. That's the tweet. And Wayne Static, like, doing a grocery list playing in the background.
Yeah, he recorded the grocery list.
They still sell 70,000 copies.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that's what it is on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Okay.
Yay.